You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
The other day, I was talking with a client who was working hard to save her marriage, and her frustration was she was not getting a foothold. So I asked her to tell me what was going on, and she told me a little bit about her plan and how she was following through with her plan, and she was pretty proud of herself for having created the plan. What was interesting about her plan was that it wasn't hitting her in the right direction. There were lots of pieces to her plan that were actually making things worse. And she said, "But I thought I was doing the right thing." And I turned to her on the phone and said, "You're doing the right thing, but you're not doing it the right way." And that's kind of what I want to talk about today, the fact that sometimes we're doing the right thing, but we're not doing it the right way. See, I believe that the concept of saving your marriage is the right thing to do. I just got off the phone with another client, and the client was not sure if he wanted to work at all on saving the marriage. There's another relationship that had captured his attention, and he was not sure if he was ready to try again because he said, "I don't feel what I want to for my spouse." And I said, "Well, you don't feel something for your spouse because you have infatuation for the other person." Now, this is a conversation that I often have with people who are involved in another relationship. And the person said, "Oh, it's not infatuation, it's more than that." I said, "No, it's infatuation at this point, and that's why you're confused." And as he talked about it, I realized that part of what was holding him back was his fear of doing the wrong thing in many different places. But the concept of saving your marriage is a noble concept. I've talked about this many times, that I believe that people who are working on their relationship, given our culture, are doing heroic work. They're doing courageous work. First, the heroic part. I believe that when we're doing something for a higher value that even puts ourselves at risk, that's heroic. Saving a marriage and working to save a marriage can have multi-generational impact. In fact, I can guarantee you that it impacts the next generation if you have kids. If you have kids who are watching you at this process, I can tell you what happens down the road when there's a divorce, because I've heard about it over and over from people about how they struggled having watched their parents divorce. No matter how we do a divorce, you're basically changing the family structure for a child. What they've always known as safety in the family is decimated in the process of a divorce. Does that mean they want to recover? Absolutely not. They can recover, they can have great lives, but it will have an impact. It's kind of like on my body, there are multiple scars from injuries along the way. And my knees don't work as well as I would like them to. And I have some arthritis in my big toes from injuries along the way because I did some daredevil stuff when I was a kid. I recovered. I still go run. I still go paddle. I still go enjoy life. But there are reminders of the pain and the hurts. There are scars on my body to remind me. There are joints that are achy on my body. That's the effect. You know, there are long-term consequences when people go through a family's divorce. I watched it in my own family. I was very fortunate that my parents loved each other and maintained their love for each other and nurtured their relationship throughout their marriage. And then I watched some of my cousins as their families went through divorce, and I watched the destruction that was wrought on them, and I watched them still continue to struggle with what to do about life because of those divorces. And there are consequences to that. There are splits in family, and there are alienations in family, and there are coalitions in families that aren't productive because a marriage fell apart. So when people decide to work on their relationship, that's heroic. It's brave, courageous work. So the courageous part is, sometimes we get fearful about doing something and we back away from it. Courage is deciding to take action, to try it anyway, in spite of the fear. It's not waiting for the fear to go away. It's deciding to rise above the fear and take action. Many times when I watch people decide to take on a tough marriage, they're having to be courageous, because what's gotten them in trouble is the fear has kept them away from the connection. So they're trying to overcome their own natural fear of connection. And they're also overcoming their own natural fear of rejection. And they continue to move forward in their process. They're doing the right thing by trying to save a relationship. I deeply believe that our culture, it's countercultural to work on your marriage. Our culture has made it okay to divorce without much consequence. One of my colleagues talks about the fact that no-fault divorce ought to be renamed unilateral divorce. One person gets to choose to get out of the relationship and then hide behind, well, there's no fault. There's always some responsibility. Whether we have to point the fingers at some fault, we can always assign some responsibility in the fact that somebody often chooses to get a divorce. If you listen to this podcast, it's not because both of you decide that getting a divorce is okay. It's likely that one or both of you want to save the relationship. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to a Save the Marriage podcast. So you're involved in courageous work. You're involved in heroic work. Even if both people are working to restore a relationship, that's courageous and heroic because in many ways, it's countercultural to the norms of the day. When things are tough, just go find somebody else or just leave the relationship. So it's about doing the right thing. That's what I want you to hear, is that working on the relationship is doing the right thing. But sometimes we don't do it right. The doing it right part is about the process of saving a marriage. Many times people call me and they tell me about what's going on in their efforts to save a marriage, and they, for lots of different reasons, aren't doing it right. Maybe they went to a therapist who told them that their issue was communication, so they needed to learn to communicate better. Communication is rarely the real problem. In fact, I've never seen it where that was the true problem as much as it was a symptom of the problem. So a lot of times people go to a therapist and they work on communication skills. They do things like I statements and reflective listening and all other skills, which are great communication skills. But it doesn't address the underlying issue. The underlying issue is a lack of connection and a lack of moving towards being a we, a team, on it together, in it together, a separate entity that is different than any other relationship in our life. And because of that, sometimes people don't know to move in that direction. And because of that, they don't move in that direction. So there are a lot of band-aids that people put on. So communication is one way, but there are lots of other ways that sometimes people are working on a relationship, but not in a way that's effective, not in a way that's truly addressing the underlying issues. So a lot of times we do things, but we don't do it in the right way. Have you ever done something else? You know, you thought you were doing it, you had the best of intentions, but you just weren't doing it the right way. Maybe you didn't know how to do it. I remember how many times I've tried to use a tool to make some repair when that tool wasn't designed for it. And so I was trying to make a repair. I was doing the right thing of trying to make a repair, but I was going about it in a whole wrong way. And that's part of the process of saving your marriage, which raises the question of why would you know how to save your marriage? Most people don't know how to build a marriage, much less how to save a marriage that's in trouble. And so a lot of times people decide to try to tackle this without any outside information. The second problem is sometimes they tackle it with outside information that's not so helpful. So let's talk for a minute about some ways of doing it wrong. This is where we get in the way of not doing it right. For instance, people to take shortcuts. Now, I'm all for shortcuts. I love my Waze on my phone because it will tell me if somebody else has found a better way to get there, to save me a little time in transit. And if suddenly there is a problem up ahead, it will reroute me on the shortest way to get there. That's a great shortcut. But shortcuts don't always pay off. Years back, I was doing an adventure race. I think it was an 18-hour adventure race. And my two partners in the race, we had to stay together. In fact, under the rules of this race, you had to be within 20 feet of each other the entire time you were racing. And we were going through a large forest that we had to get to as many checkpoints as possible using the modes of transportation that were allowed us. And the modes of transportation were running, trail running, mountain biking, and paddling. We had to paddle rafts and all kinds of interesting things and to go through the obstacles that were set in front of us. So we had to get to another destination. And I remember us standing there and looking at the map and plotting the shortest route between one point and the other, and we hit it off, only to find ourselves in the midst of a dense undergrowth, overabundant forest that was hilly and rocky and strewn with logs and fallen trees and vines and everything else that got in our way. There was a big area of stinging nettle that we had to walk through. It was a miserable shortcut. The problem was we hadn't looked at the details. We had a map, a typography map even, that showed us, once we looked back on it, how bad that route would be. But we were trying to find the quickest route. So we took a shortcut. We thought it was a shortcut. And rarely are shortcuts that are unknown very short. I watched this throughout our culture. We take shortcuts all the time. We try to reduce big things to small issues. And so many times I watch as people decide to take a couple of my techniques and shortcut the process because they don't recognize what's behind it. And so they're just trying to find some technique. A few days ago, I had someone who called me and said, "Hey, you're the person who has the internet program on saving your marriage, right?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, my wife's about to leave me. What do I need to do right now? I don't want to get your whole system, but what do I do right now?" And I said, "There's nothing you can do right now that I can tell you in 2 minutes that's going to get you there. You need to learn the process. You need to dig in." He said, "Yeah, but I don't have time for that. I just want the shortcut." And I said, this is one of those podcasts I talked about earlier. Every shortcut you've taken has gotten you to here. Shortcuts aren't necessarily the right way to get you there. So the first way we do the right thing but not in the right way is we look for shortcuts. The second way is bigger. It's manipulation. Manipulation is trying to trick the other person into a marriage. And I always wonder when I read people's information about tricking people into a relationship is, what does that mean of the other person? What does it mean to trick somebody into not divorcing you, to use reverse psychology or to use hypnosis or to use the no contact rule or some of these other manipulative techniques? What do you get out of that? You've manipulated somebody into a relationship. So it's not a genuine relationship. It's not a true relationship. It's very much a controlled relationship. More than that, very few people truly fall for those tactics. Reverse psychology might last for a minute just because the other person is standing in confusion. No contact rarely ever works. All it does is prove to the other person that you don't want to be in contact, and neither do they. Hypnosis, it's not real effective unless you are wanting to be hypnotized. So that doesn't get us there. So what ends up happening is people try to manipulate themselves into a good marriage. And I just want you to think logically about that. Can you manipulate somebody else into being in a good, healthy relationship? And I think you'll agree that's not possible. So the second way that people try to do the right thing but not in the right way is through manipulation. Similar to that are games people play. That was a title of a book back in the 70s, and it's still a great thing to think through. This is the game where you're trying to figure out the chess moves of what somebody else is doing and how you play that out and what are the strategies to get them back in relationship with you. Games and manipulation are in the same category, but sometimes people play these elaborate games to try to pull the other person back in. Games don't get you there. Another way of not doing it right is by hedging. Hedging means that you kind of have your safety zone. So I've talked with people who say they're committed to the relationship, but they've begun a legal process kind of behind their spouse's back, or they've begun to have assets behind their spouse's back, or they started another relationship behind the spouse's back. So they have something to fall back on. They've hedged the possibilities. And whenever we hedge something, we've created our exit strategy, and we've already, in some ways, committed to that exit strategy without having worked to move in the better direction. So a lot of times, one of the ways that we do the right thing but in the wrong way is when we hedge our process. And the next way is by rationalizing, and this is a kind of the harsh one for us humans because we humans love to rationalize. I spend a lot of my coaching time pointing to people how they're rationalizing their decisions and how they're rationalizing their actions so that it makes them be in a better place. We all like to be the heroes of our own stories. And unfortunately, a lot of times we are required to rationalize how that's going to look. And so one way we do that is by making sense of the senseless, making sense of the confusing, and trying to take actions that already fit what we want to have happen. The difficulty is that we rationalize when we have a plan sometimes. So I talk to some people who have a great plan of action to save their marriage. They've written it down, they've got their plan, and then as they begin to look at it, they realize they've drifted from their plan. They're no longer really on their plan, they're kind of faking their plan. And what's happened in that process is they've rationalized. They've decided that they need to add other elements. For instance, I talked with somebody a while back that was doing very well connecting and then rationalized that they needed to do a no-contact approach for a while to get the attention of the other person. So they rationalized that because that's not a part of the plan that they had. It's not a part of the process that they were following. So they had to rationalize that to make it make sense. So many times we have our plan, and sometimes that plan makes a lot of sense until we rationalize ourselves away from that plan. So those are some ways, that's not an exhaustive list, but some ways of helping you think about whether you're doing the right thing but the wrong way. Maybe you're taking shortcuts. Maybe you're relying on manipulation or playing games. Maybe you're hedging somewhere. Maybe you're rationalizing your plan, and in the process, you watch as things continue to go south of the right thing of restoring your relationship. Now, sometimes people contact me and say, you know, I don't even know how to do that. Well, that's part of why I created the Save the Marriage system. I wanted to have people to have a process to understand how to do the right thing the right way, have a plan in place the right way that takes it from understanding what a marriage is to how to restore a marriage that's in trouble, no matter where that process is. And part of that is to make sure that people are working from a plan, which is why we also add in the coaching and the help after the process. So part of what we do with the Save the Marriage system is make sure that one of my coaches contacts you to set up a short getting started session. It's optional. You don't have to do it, but it's completely complimentary so that we make sure that you're getting started right. Not only that, but just to make sure that you're making headway in the right way, I provide a week of the VIP program, the virtual intensive program that I have that allows you to get extra tools, extra coaching and training to keep you on track, to get you on track, to get that plan in the right place. We have that as an ongoing process if you choose to use it, and ongoing coaching as a process to make sure that you keep doing the right thing the right way. If that's helpful for you and you don't have it yet, you can grab the Save the Marriage system simply by going to savethemarriage.com. That's savethemarriage.com. While you're there, as you go through the process of signing up, make sure that you join the free week of VIP, and also make sure that you claim your getting started session with one of my coaches. If you are already involved in the system and you still need more help, let me know. You can send me an email at coach@savethemarriage.com. That's coach@savethemarriage.com. And that's a way of making sure that we connect you with the best resources to help you keep moving so that you're doing the right thing the right way. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.